Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Before we start the show, I have to tell you about an exciting opportunity for solo travelers. If you love the idea of this RV life but not sure about going it alone, now you don't have to. Embark on your solo adventures with confidence and camaraderie. Join the Wandering Individuals Network RV Club today for the ultimate journey tailored to the independent traveler. Visit WindsRVClub.com to learn more, and be sure to check out Episode 6, where Janelle, the owner of Winds RV Club and a solo traveler herself, shares her story and all about this fantastic club. You won't want to miss it. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Roam in Your Home podcast, the show where we dive into the world of RV living with tips, stories, and insights from those who live it every day. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. I'm super excited for today's episode with Anne from On the Road of Adventure. I love following her on Instagram, and it was such a treat to interview her. I could have talked to her all day long. She instantly makes you feel like you've known her forever and made it such a comfortable conversation. We literally talked for 2 hours, and she so graciously gave me her time, shared her story, and tons of tips and great information. You're going to love this. Today, I'm sharing part one of my conversation, and we'll share part two next week. Trust me, it's worth the wait. This conversation was so much fun, and I loved getting to know Anne better, and I know you will too. So I won't make you wait any longer. Please help me give a warm welcome to Anne. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. I've loved following your adventures on Instagram, and I'm really excited to get to know you better and for our listeners to learn more about you and your experiences. So thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So to start off, I always want to find out, how long have you guys been on the road?
We have been on the road since April of 2019, so just a little bit over 5 years.
That is so exciting. 5 years. That's quite a lot of experiences.
It is a lot of experiences.
It's really exciting. We just celebrated, I think it's been 6 years. Well, actually, it was 7 years in the RV, but we were stationary for a year trying to learn all about this RV life before we hit the road. So time goes by really fast. You know, like the saying, time flies when you're having fun, right?
Time does fly when you're having fun. And we talk sometimes about how the passage of time is kind of commensurate with how many things you do. So when you're stationary for a while, like, that time doesn't seem to go by quite as fast as when you're moving every week and you're like, oh my gosh, there's just so much has happened. Like, we just did so much. And it seems like it's a month when it's only a few days, but this life is definitely full of a lot of excitement and a lot of adventures, and the time living this life, I think, goes by really fast because of that.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think this life really kind of forces you to try to slow down. And it almost seems to, like, the more you try to slow down, it seems like, you know, you can't fit everything in, but it is really, at least for us, forcing us to be more intentional and really try to, you know, appreciate each day. Whereas, like, we're always, you know, before this RV life, we were just kind of always living for, like, the next thing. Like, oh, I can't wait until. And it's like, oh, you're going to wish your life away when you're always can't wait until, you know.
Right.
And this has really, yeah, forced us to be like, let's just be excited for today. What's in it for today? You know, so that's awesome. And before we continue, I know the answer, but I want our listeners to find out, if they don't know you guys, who is in the RV with you?
So I travel with my husband, Brian, and our mini Australian Labradoodle, Skipper.
And Skipper is so adorable. We are huge dog lovers, and I love Skipper and seeing him make new friends. And, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, he had a play date this morning, so he's pretty much passed out.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that with our dog Cooper too. It's so fun when they get to make new friends and then play, and yeah, and then they sleep really good the rest of the day. So that's another bonus.
A tired puppy is a good puppy.
That is so true. And so what made you guys decide to start this RV life back 5 years ago?
So we used to have a sailboat, and it was our floating summertime cottage. We're from Michigan, so we spent a lot of time on the sailboat in the summer, and I loved it. And my husband had this dream about living full time on the boat, and I verbally bought into that. I actually thought that I had bought into it completely, and we talked about having a 5-year plan to live full time on the boat, not the boat, but a boat. And after time had gone by, my husband one day said to me, "Well, 5 years never becomes 4 with you. So when does it become 4?" And it made me really think about, why was that? And I was able to finally admit that living on the boat really wasn't my dream. I had a lot of reservations about being, unable to run errands and be able to go walk the dog and just how different life would be if we lived full time on a boat.
Right.
And it began a discussion about how we could live a nomadic life. And really, a lot of it was just to get out of Michigan's winter.
Right.
And so one day we were grounded at home, literally, because our boat had a diesel leak and it was all this diesel was in the bilge of the boat. And we cleaned it up. We were supposed to go on vacation, but we were stuck because the boat just reeked of diesel and we couldn't be on there because of the fumes.
Oh,
And
wow.
I had terrible sciatica. And so our vacation was suddenly at home in our house in Michigan. And he said to me, "What would you think about living in an RV?" And it was, Jamie, like a light bulb went off for me. I had never been in a motorhome. I'd never been in an RV, really.
Wow.
But it was like a light went off for me that I could have this travel life, this adventurous nomadic life that we had talked about with the boat, but I could still have a lot of the conveniences of living on land. Running errands would still be easy,
Right.
fairly easy. Taking the dog for a walk, no problem. So it was like, yes, let's do it. And we watched that week while we were home on our vacation. We watched so many YouTube videos, and it was a done deal after that week. Like, yes, let's do it. And so we made a new 5-year plan. That new 5-year plan became like a 5-month plan. But that's a little bit longer story where some job changes for me just push things forward, and we have no regrets about making it happen so quickly. And it was really exciting, and it's been a great move for us.
That's so cool. Now, what gave Brian the idea?
That's a good question. He's really always had a travel bug. We both really love to travel. That was one of the things that made our relationship easy. And we had a lot of fun adventures traveling together even before our RV life. But we also traveled a lot, both of us, for work. And we hated packing suitcases. We've never been light travelers. We would joke when we would go on a trip in our car, like, "Okay, wait a minute. We have like 2 suitcases each, and we've this is ridiculous." So he's always really kind of had this. And, when we started with the sailboat, it was pretty early on in our sailing life that he was talking about having this dream of living on the boat. He came to our marriage with that. We met in 2009, and, he had already been thinking about living on a boat.
Wow, he's so adventurous. That's really cool.
Some days he's adventurous, some days.
Oh, I love that. That's really neat. And so, when you guys were thinking about this RV life and starting to do your research on YouTube and trying to binge watch as much content as you can to see if this is going to work, whose videos were you watching at that point and kind of getting excited about it? Just curious.
Well, I think the main ones were Keep Your Daydream.
Yeah, same here.
I think a lot of us have been inspired by Mark and Trish, who are a really wonderful couple. If you've never met them in person, they are as authentic in person as they are on their channel. So we followed them. We followed Less Junk, More Journey.
Yep.
We've also run into them over our time traveling in a state park in Michigan. Also, very nice people. We were following, I think they're now called Today is Someday, but
Yes, I know who you're talking about, and I can't remember what their other name was too.
I guess they're doing a good job of Today is Someday, right? That they
Yes.
have rebranded themselves as Today is Someday. So there were a number of people that we were watching, and we watched a few other channels here and there, but those were the main ones that we were watching multiple seasons.
Yeah, Mark and Trish definitely were our first and just such an inspiration. It's been so cool to see their family grow and all the changes that they've made and their RVs and just keep having so much fun at it and keep inspiring so many people. So, yeah, just curious if that was one of the couples that you started watching too. And so, when you guys were looking for your RV, now this was your first RV that you were going to buy, right?
First RV.
And so, what made you decide on the class, first of all? Like, what were you looking for? Like, how did you do your research? Was it just on YouTube? Did you guys go to RV shows? Did you look at RV dealers? What kind of research did you do when you were RV shopping?
Well, as much as Brian is an adventurer and he is a dreamer and an adventurer, he's also a spreadsheet maker.
Oh, okay.
So Brian made this massive spreadsheet about all of the differences between motorhomes, travel trailers, fifth wheels. I'm telling you, Jamie, if I could find this today, I could probably sell it
Oh, that's
because
so cool.
it was very comprehensive for what was what, right?
Oh, that's so good.
But the end of the day, it boiled down to me wanting to be able to get up to go to the bathroom while we were driving.
Yeah, that's an important thing to think about.
I know, it's kind of ridiculous, but I like to drink coffee in the morning, and inevitably I have to go pee like six times within an hour and a half or something. And I knew that he would be annoyed if we had to stop every time that I had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So
That's actually really smart to think about.
it's kind of silly. I do drive our motor home sometimes, but
Oh, that's awesome.
when I drive in the afternoon after I'm done drinking my coffee, and I don't have to worry about that getting up piece. So that was the big thing for us, was that I wanted to be able to get up and use the bathroom and be able to get up and get a drink or get a snack or whatever, and not have to worry about packing that kind of stuff or stopping during our travel days.
That's so good. I love that. And yeah, that would be such a good benefit of having a motor home. Yes, just to get up and go to the bathroom or get something to eat or drink or without stopping. That really is such a selling point. And so, what did you guys decide on?
So we travel in a 2015 Integra Coach Class A motorhome. It's an Aspire model. If anyone's that interested, it's the 44B model, B like boy.
Nice.
And that just is what floor plan basically that we have.
Right.
So we knew that we had boiled it down really to a few of the major higher end, without being the super top end motorhomes. We also knew that buying a brand new coach was not in our budget, and we had heard great things about Integra Coach. We had gone to a couple of RV shows to check out motorhomes and to see what we liked and what we didn't like. And then we also went and toured four different factories.
Wow.
And we toured four factories and did their tours all within 1 week time frame. And we felt very confident that Integra Coach was one of the very best built coaches that we could get. But we still didn't think it was going to be in our price range. And then we were shopping for our motor home and actually going to look at some used coaches. And we saw our coach on a lot, and we both loved it. We both had driven it. We felt like it was great, but we got in the car to drive home at the end of that day, and looked at each other and said, you know, it's just at the top of our budget and or just a little bit beyond our budget. And lo and behold, surprise, the salesperson called and said, you know, what are you thinking? And we told him, like, it's over our budget. And he dropped the price magically. And here we are 5 years later. We're still in the same coach. So we bought our first coach and we bought our last coach all at once. So
I love that.
I think that someday we will change, but for now we're quite happy with it and we don't have any plans to change in the foreseeable future.
Oh yeah, you guys have such a beautiful coach. I've seen your videos and the floor plan is perfect. I love that. It must have been so exciting to walk in and see something that you loved and that you could really see yourself living in, and then to be able to get it at a discount is just like,
Yeah.
that's so awesome.
What we didn't know is that, and I wish all people who are looking in RV shopping knew this, but most of the time you can get a pretty healthy discount off of what the price is on the lot.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, sadly, you don't just get the best deal right away. You have to negotiate that or you have to ask for the discount.
Right.
But when people see sticker price, they should know that it's just a sticker price and that there's lots of discounting, usually up to about 30%, I would say, off of what the sticker price is.
Yeah, that's good. Except during COVID, I heard that that was not, that 30% went out the window because we were actually going to buy a new, or we did buy a new RV during COVID, and we're just assuming the 30%, and the guy's like, oh no, that doesn't happen right now. We have a whole lot of people willing to pay over full price. So if you want it, you got to pay what we're asking. And it was like, oh no. So now it's more realistic again. I think the 30% is back. So yeah, that's definitely good advice to know that you do not have to pay what they are asking. So very good. I'm glad you brought that up. And so buying your first RV and not really knowing what to expect. And, you know, I know for us, like living in something really allowed us to know, I love this, or, oh, I didn't expect it to be like this, and I wish I could change this. So, always so curious to ask people, what are three things? We're going to go over three things that you love and three things that you don't love about your RV. So, let's start with three things that you guys love about it.
Well, I would say, and it's partly to do with having a Class A motorhome or a drivable RV versus having a trailer, and that is how easy it is to pack up and set up. So when we leave a park, we do all the same stuff that a trailer owner would do or trailerable RV owner would do. You know, we're still rolling up rugs, we're still securing things from counters that get put out and making sure that drawers and doors and all of that are closed. But once we have done all of that piece of it, the only other thing that we have to do is pull in our slides and pull up our jacks. And I think when I watch fifth wheels and travel trailers come into RV parks or leaving RV parks, I see they're out there, they're putting down all of the blocks underneath their jacks, they're doing all kinds of stuff to disconnect. You know, yes, we tow a car, so we still have to disconnect and do all of that, but it just seems like our setup and pack up is so fast. And I love that we can do it all in the matter of just a few minutes.
Wow, that's good to know.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, that is smart because we have had, you know, our very first RV was our first one, and it was a 40-foot fifth wheel. And then we had this crazy idea during COVID to sell it, sell the big truck, big RV, buy a Jeep Gladiator, and the biggest small RV that the Jeep Gladiator can safely and legally tow, which was a 20-foot travel trailer that we've lost our minds. And but we were just going to do like a bucket list adventure. This was never going to be more than like 6 months to a year. We're now at 3 years. We are like, and it's only because interest rates are so high right now. We're trying to figure out like, what do we want? And we were definitely going with a motorhome so we could tow the Jeep Gladiator. Now we're kind of back and forth like, well, should we go back to a fifth wheel and get a big truck? So we're, you know, weighing all of our options. So I'm so glad you brought that up. Nobody's ever really talked about that. We've never had a motorhome, so really didn't know the difference between, you know, the packing up and going. That's a huge thing to consider.
It's really quick. And I think if you're moving fast, it might be something even more important to consider. Like if you're going somewhere for 3 or 4 months, then that setup is probably not that big of a deal. But if you're moving every couple of days, doing all of that work is a lot of work.
It is. And it has been really a lot of work. And it's like, oh, this is really getting old fast if we're moving pretty quickly. But that's really good to consider. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
So that's one thing. The second thing is that we have opposing slides.
Yes.
We have 4 slide outs in our motorhome.
Nice.
And so when you have those opposing slides, it just makes the space feel so much bigger.
Absolutely.
And I think when our slides are fully extended, we're 13 feet wide instead of a normal like 8 feet.
Yeah, huge difference.
It's quite a lot. It's a small person that can stretch out across the floor there.
Right.
Or a dog who can play fetch in the house.
Yes, yeah. That's so true. Yes, our fifth wheel had opposing slides, and oh, we didn't know anything different until, you know, because that was our first one, and we just loved the space, and then we bought this little one with one slide. Oh, yeah, we're like always saying, excuse me, excuse me. Yeah.
I would say I can't imagine, but I kind of can, because before our 45-foot motorhome, we had a 35-foot sailboat.
Oh, so it's kind of the same, right?
Except for a sailboat is not a box. A sailboat has a lot of unusable space.
Right.
And I actually thought I needed 10 more feet because of living in the sailboat, but 10 more feet in a box is a lot more space than 10 feet in a sailboat. So, but 35-foot sailboat, we were always running into each other like, okay, gotta go. Yeah. Can you move?
Yes.
I'm just trying to get by you.
Yep, exactly. And there's, yeah, not enough room for 2 people in the kitchen. And yeah, so many things we didn't consider, but we are definitely considering it now. So what else do you love about your motorhome?
Yeah, so my third thing I would say is that in our kitchen, we have this slide out drawer stack.
Yes.
That comes out that gives me a whole new section of counter space.
I love that.
It is really where I spend most of my time prepping all of the, you know, doing any of my chopping or anything like that. Just get so much more space in the kitchen for cooking because of that drawer stack. I have fifth wheel envy sometimes with the people who have the big island.
Right.
That whole big space that is often found in and the separation of space that you find in a fifth wheel. But the drawer stack in our kitchen helps make the space so much more usable.
Well, you share so many wonderful recipes and cooking experiences, what you guys make. And oh my gosh, I love it. You're definitely one to watch when you're wondering if you can really cook normal in an RV.
Thank you.
Because you make some amazing meals and things, you know, because there's so many people who think like, hey, can you cook in there? It's like, oh my gosh, yes, you could cook just like pretty much normal. And there's so many different things. I was just watching you who are baking a cake in your new...
In the Omnia oven. Yeah.
Yes. That was really cool. That was awesome. So there's so many little things like that even that people don't realize. So yeah, I love watching all of your cooking stuff. You make it look so easy and so good. I try to keep my husband away from watching it though, because he doesn't know I could cook... that I'm able to cook. No, I'm kidding. But you do make it look easy. Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And so what are some things now that you are in it and 5 years now, are there some things that you didn't realize or maybe didn't like as much as you thought you would?
Well, I touched on this with the fifth wheel. I do have fifth wheel envy. One thing I don't like is that we don't have a lot of separation of space.
Right.
So I think in fifth wheels, you have very distinct separation of what is the living room, what's the kitchen, what's the bedroom, what's the bathroom. In our motorhome, it's one kind of big space. We do have a door that separates our bedroom, but Our kitchen, living room, and because we're still working, office is all just sort of one space. And so we live, work, and cook all in that area.
Right.
It's still very functional for us, but I would like someday to have a separate office or a separate place to go at the end of the day that would be just to escape the place that we have spent the whole day in.
So true.
So that's one thing. The second thing I would say is how big it is. Like 45 feet is huge.
Yes.
And then we tow an F-150 behind us.
Oh,
So in total, when we're towing, we're about 70 feet.
wow.
It's big. I mean, it's big. And you can't go to every RV park or every national park or state park that you might like to go to when you're 45 feet towing a F-150. They don't have spaces for you. So some days I wish that we were smaller. Now, do I want to give up my bath and a half for that? No. So at the moment, I'm still kind of stuck in this mode of like I still have to have that much space to do it. But we talk someday about how we might like to tow a Class B instead of towing our truck so that we can just be a little more nimble.
Oh, fun. That is so fun. I've never even seen anybody do that, but that makes so much sense.
Or my husband has these grandiose ideas of putting a truck camper or like a rooftop tent on our truck so that we could do some more sort of camping experiences. Because I can tell you we're not camping at all.
You're glamping right now, yes.
We're definitely glamping, yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Yes, that's why we wanted the Gladiator. We got a, it's not a rooftop tent, but we got a truck tent for the back and an air mattress that fits right in the bed. It's like made for the Gladiator.
Oh, that's great.
It was so fun. And I've never tent camped in my life. I mean, so, I mean, that was something new to me. I wasn't sure I would love it. And I absolutely love it. We have been to the most amazing places that we could never go, even with our tiny 20-foot travel trailer, we couldn't go. But now we can go and see these amazing sites. And, you know, there's a lot of free campsites like in Colorado and out west. And we camped at the top of a mountain next to a, you know, waterfall. It was just amazing. So highly recommend that idea too. That's so cool. Just another, you know, opportunity for more adventure. So Brian has some good ideas.
Does. Our first date, I told him I don't camp, so I'm not 100% sold on this truck camp conversion thing,
Yeah.
but who knows? Yeah.
That's how I was. We were married like 30 years before we started tent camping. And I'm like, I can't believe you're going to make me do this. And I ended up loving it. So you never know.
Oh, that's great. So, and then the third thing I would say is how expensive it can be to maintain it. I mean, that's one thing that when people are looking at RVs, and it's not just our motor home that's expensive to maintain, it's any RV can be very expensive to maintain. Every time you move your RV, it's like taking it through an earthquake, and things are bound to break.
Yes.
They put as much flex and as much, movement as you can into a home, but it can be expensive to maintain it. And so budgeting for that, I think for a new RVer is really important.
Yeah, that's so true. A lot of people, and me included, when we were first starting to even do our research, I thought it was going to be cheap to live in an RV. And it is anything but cheap because there is a lot of expense that people don't realize. And so if people are getting into this RV life to save money, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely would need to really think about and do some research because there is a lot of expense to this.
There's a lot of expense to it. And I agree. I think that people often think of it. I get asked quite frequently, like, what does it cost to live your life? Like, how much is it? Well, you can live a much less expensive lifestyle than what we are living,
Right.
but it's definitely can be a very expensive lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely see that as well. And I know there's some people who share like their monthly expenses and even when I see some of those, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money, you know, and they're like really doing well with cutting some costs and saving different places. But I think, wow, that's still a lot of money. And I think people just don't realize it. And I think during COVID, nobody was researching. They all thought that they could do it and they were buying all these RVs. And now there's a lot of RVs for sale because of it.
Yeah.
It's not as easy or as cheap as people think. That's for sure.
No, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of expenses that are involved. I mean, every time we move our motorhome, I think we're, even if we're just going a couple of hours down the road, we're $150 or $200 in diesel.
Yeah, yes.
And I think we get 7 miles on average per gallon.
Yeah, wow.
So it's an expensive thing just to move down the road.
It really is. Yeah, we average about 8, which is not a lot better. But I've also talked to so many different people, including us. Like when we had our big truck, big RV, we averaged 8 miles to the gallon. And then our truck was diesel. But now we're gas. We have a gas Gladiator towing, you know, a small, tiny 20-foot travel trailer, we're still 8 miles of the gallon. And I've talked to other people with different setups, and they're also like 7-8 miles of the gallon. So it's definitely very expensive on gas, whether you have gas or diesel. It's going to be an expensive cost to be able to travel wherever you want to go.
Right. So I guess you can live it more cheaply if you just don't move.
That's true. That's true. And that's what I was always saying too. Like, I did not buy this RV to sit in an RV park. Like, that's not, I mean, if I wanted to be stationary, I wouldn't have sold my house. And so,
right.
The whole point of living this RV life is to go places and see things. And yeah, so you definitely need to consider all things for sure. And then, you know, since you guys were new at RV life as well, like we were so intrigued with all the little like RV gadgets and like going to Camping World. We didn't even know that store existed, and we still love it. We love walking around seeing all the new things and, you know, new ideas. And I know that you work with some brands and share so many things, and this is going to be hard, I would think, for you because you have so many great things that you work with. But what are three of your favorite like RV accessories or must-haves that you would like to share with people?
Have you been to the Tampa RV show?
Yes, we love that one. That is our favorite.
Because if you like walking around Camping World, like that is the mecca of all RV things.
It is the best.
I haven't been to the Hershey RV show, which I know is the other like really big national RV show. I imagine that it's just as big as what the Tampa show is, but you can find so many things and so many solutions for things if you're trying, you know, just to figure something new out. So
right.
Anyway, I know that other guests that you've had on your show have said this, but camp chairs.
Yes.
For outside, and really all the things that you could have for outside that help you extend your living space.
Great idea.
Whether it's camp chairs, an outdoor dog bed, a propane fire pit, because you are living in a small space, having the things to make your life comfortable outside are really great accessories to have. I wish that we spent more time outside than what we do. It's kind of embarrassing when you live this life to be outside and then you just don't spend as much time as you want because either you're in the afternoon sun and it's too hot, or, you know, it's just a really small space, or you're only there for a couple days, so you don't want to pull out all the stuff or whatever. But
right.
When you do pull out and you have a nice area to extend your living space, it really makes living in an RV that much nicer. So I would say those are important things to have. Number two for us is Starlink.
Yes.
Or some sort of reliable internet. Starlink for us has been really a game changer for where we've been able to go. Places that in the past were off limits for us because there wasn't cell service.
Right.
Now are accessible for us and allow us to still stay connected for work. So Starlink has been really, really great. But also, like we were talking about expenses, it's an expensive solution. So people who are not working full time might not need to spend that much money for that, and it might not be worth it for them. But for us, it is.
Totally. Yes.
And you're going to laugh when I tell you what my third thing is. And it's not just because of being in an RV, but you really need to have a good set of knives.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's kind of silly, and a knife sharpener probably to go with that, because I have to have a good set of knives. That's like super important for me. And that's not maybe RV accessory, but...
Now, that's something that people really don't think about. I'm glad that you brought that up. And with all the cooking that you do, I definitely see the need of good knives. And even though I don't cook quite as much as you do, we have cheap knives, and that is probably the most frustrating thing. And that's on our list. We've got to get better knives. You know, so that's, yeah, that's something that makes you want to cook or makes you not want to cook. So
I hate going places where I don't have a good knife. In fact, I used to pack my knives when we would go rent a boat or rent, you know, an Airbnb or something. I would pack a couple of good knives because
that's smart.
Cooking with good knives or prepping with good knives is really, really important.
Yeah, that is so true. Yeah, that either makes a nice, enjoyable evening or, you know, very frustrating. We went for a cheap brand because we needed new knives and we're like, oh, these are pretty, but they weren't affordable. And I mean, like, you know, pretty cheap. And so we're like, well, maybe they'll last us a little bit. And yeah, they didn't last long. And you really get what you pay for, I believe. That's for sure. And everything in life, I think.
Well, I think you're right. I think I've had the same set of knives now, like my main set of knives I think I've had for 25 years.
Oh my gosh. You need to get us a link to your knives because we all need to get some knives that will last us that long. Wow, that's really, really good.
And they're still in great shape. I take good care of them. I never put them in the dishwasher. I always wash them by hand and I keep them sharp.
Oh, that's so smart. Yeah, I don't think I've ever even owned a knife sharpener. So that's probably my problem. But oh my gosh.
That also could help you, even with cheap knives, just having them be sharp could be a game changer for you.
So true. So true. And so I always want to find out from people, and I think this is so interesting because it totally was, I think, probably a big surprise for us. You know, starting out this RV life, we had so many things that we thought were going to be difficult, and so many things were a lot easier than we thought. And so is there something in particular that you guys remember thinking was going to be difficult and ended up being a lot easier than you thought about doing this RV life?
Well, I think when I listened to Desiree from RV Cruising, she said everything. And she also came from the boating side of things, which when I listened to that episode, it made me laugh because I felt the same way. Like, storage in the RV is so much more simple than storage in a boat where you have everything is buried. But I didn't want to use the same thing that I'd heard other guests of yours. So I would say it's giving up all the stuff that we've accumulated over the years. It was so freeing, honestly, to sell all of our stuff. We downsized from our 1,200 square foot home and a sailboat to our motorhome in 5 months.
Wow.
So we hired an estate sales company to come in and to sell our stuff for us because we didn't have a lot of time to do it and we wanted it to be as pain-free and fast as possible. And I couldn't bear the thought of doing a garage sale myself.
Right.
So we hired a company and they came in and they sold everything that they were able to, and anything that they weren't able to sell, they donated to a charity for us.
That's awesome.
And the process of just downsizing, of giving up all of the stuff that we had accumulated, was so much easier and so freeing. It was great. It was great to be able to do and to not have that attachment to things like I used to have. It was really good.
That is so true. We felt the same exact way We had a 4-bedroom home full of stuff. We don't have any children. And I did do the garage sale on my own. I don't recommend it, but it was okay, I guess. I mean, I'm glad that it wasn't very long. I think I did it 2 weekends, but we had so much stuff, and all of our neighbors, they were so cute. They would come around, they'd be like, wow, for 2 people with no kids, you guys have a lot of stuff. And it's like, yeah, that is so ridiculous. Like, there was stuff that we didn't even remember we had, stuff with tags on it. That was just a terrible feeling. And to get rid of it and just to have what we needed, that is the best feeling. And I want to keep doing that. I want to purge often and, you know, get rid of stuff, because with a 20-foot travel trailer, that's the best part about it. We cannot accumulate anything. There is literally no room, no more room for one more thing. And so that's a good thing. But when you do have, like when we had the 40-foot fifth wheel, we had a ton of storage and closet space and cabinets and all of that. It was surprising how much we accumulated in just that short time of having that and then having to get rid of it again. And now we have a storage because we're going to go back to something big. We didn't want to get rid of everything, but it is very easy to accumulate. And so it's nice to just really downsize and have what you need. It's a great word, a freeing feeling to be without all of that weight.
I think if you have space, you end up filling it, right? It doesn't matter if it's a 20-foot travel trailer or it's a 4,000 square foot home, you just end up filling your space. And a lot of the stuff that we have in our lives is redundant or unnecessary.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was so easy to live without. Like we thought we were going to be like, oh, we really miss this or really miss that. You know, some of the things I took pictures of that, you know, that if it was really sentimental, I'd give it to a family member and even have them like keep it until I can have it back or whatever. But most of the things, I just took a picture. I didn't need it. I'm not going to need it again. And honestly, I don't even look at the pictures. I just, It's something that you really think you need and you really don't. It's very easy to live with minimal stuff, and it feels so much less weight on your shoulders as well. It seems stressful to have all that stuff. And now it does seem like more freeing. Definitely love that you said that. And then, so was there something a little bit more difficult that you thought would be that you weren't expecting when you started out?
I didn't realize how hard it was going to be to decide where we should go.
Oh, true.
Travel planning is difficult, not because you have limited amount of choices, but because of how many choices there are. And so deciding where you're going to go, and then also this is painful for me. Every time we move from somewhere, I go through a couple of days of complete FOMO, this whole fear of missing out, that I haven't done everything or seen everything in the place that we are. And Brian likes to remind me that we can go back to the places that we love, that there's no reason that we have to see everything. But sometimes very overwhelming to look at a map and say, okay, this year our main goal was for the summer is to get to Glacier National Park.
Nice.
And we started in Texas. So we had a long ways to make it to Glacier. We still haven't made it. It's our next stop after here.
Oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait to see you guys be in Glacier.
I can't wait. We've both been wanting to go there for a long time. So we're finally going to make it happen. God willing, knock on wood, where everything goes as planned.
That's on our list too. We can't wait to see it. Oh, I'm so excited about that for you guys.
Thank you. But looking at the map to try to decide like how you're going to make it there, because there's so many places that you want to stop along the way, but you can only stop in so many places or you'll never make it there. And it's a good problem to have, right? Our country is amazing.
Absolutely.
And there are so many beautiful places to go. It's just a lot harder to decide sometimes where to go.
Yes.
Than what I thought it would be.
That's a really good answer, because that is so true. There's so many things on our bucket list. And I've said this before that, you know, for every one thing we've crossed off, we've added like 10 more because we get to see other people's, you know, stories and see their posts on Instagram. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that place existed. Add that one on, you know, and it's really exciting. It is a good problem to have, that there's so many things out there that we want to see. But yeah, you want to make the most of your route. And it is difficult, you know, especially when you don't have to be anywhere at a certain time. You can take your time, but like you said, if you take too much time, you'll never get there. So that's a good one. Right. Yeah, that's something that people probably don't think about.
Yeah, it's hard. And the bucket list thing is really challenging because I'm just like you, Jamie, where our bucket list hasn't gotten any smaller. We've crossed all kinds of things off of it.
Right.
But it still is long or longer than it was from before because we realize how many things there are to see and how many things we didn't even know existed.
Exactly. And for everything that we've seen so far, I cannot think of one thing we've been disappointed about. Like, I remember going to the Grand Canyon for the first time, and that was like number one on our bucket list. And I was so worried that I would be disappointed. I don't know what made me think of that, but I was so worried about it. And I remember just hoping that it was going to be as good as I thought. And it was way better than I thought. And then we went to the next thing and I was like, oh, I hope this isn't disappointing. And then it was like, oh, this is way better too. And so we realize now, for having gone so many different places, that if it looks beautiful in a photograph or in a video, it is 1,000 times better in person, and you're going to love it. And so that's what's exciting, is now that we know that, any beautiful picture we see in somebody's Instagram feed, we're like, add that to the list. You know, it's like, it's really fun though. It's so fun to see these things in person that you've only seen, you know, in a magazine or on TV. It is so awesome. It's like our best feeling to be right in front of something that we always dreamt of seeing. And so that's why I'm really excited for you guys to go to Glacier. I can't wait to go there myself one day.
Yeah, we had heard the same thing. We have, you know, just funny story of the Grand Canyon. One of our first RV parks that we stayed at, we met this couple who the man said that they were planning to travel full time. Now they're RVers, but they're 6 months in Florida, 6 months in Michigan, with a little bit of travel to get back and forth every year. And he said that their original plan was to get to the Grand Canyon and to travel, you know, as much as possible. But he figured he was going to, and I'm quoting him loosely here, he thought he was going to get to the Grand Canyon and stand at the edge and say, oh, I saw it. Time to go. And Brian and I have joked about that since we met him. And when we got to the edge of the Grand Canyon, we looked at each other and we were like, well, time to go. But no place that we've been has been like that, where it's just like, okay, I saw it. We can check it off the list. Okay, maybe like the giant ball of yarn or whatever. Right. Not that we stopped there, but but none of the national parks, I mean, it is the Grand Canyon. It's not like you get to one edge and you've seen the whole thing. It's so amazing.
Exactly. That's what's so great about this RV life too, is that you can take your time to stay a little bit extra. And you know, we did the Grand Canyon. We honestly thought we were going to be there for a day, and we ended up staying for a few days and didn't see hardly anything. So we can't wait to go back. And so there's definitely so much out there and so many things that are way better than you think they're going to be. And you're on your own schedule. You can stay a little bit longer and explore more. So, and just like Brian said, you could always go back. So right. You don't have to be in such of a hurry to see everything. And so where do you guys like to stay? I would assume with the big setup that you're always in RV parks. Is that right?
We're mostly in RV parks. And I'll be honest, I'm a sucker for full hookup.
Yes.
We have a washer dryer combo in our motorhome. I like to be able to do laundry at home, not have to take my laundry somewhere. I like to be able to wash my dishes and not worry about how much water I'm using. Or take a shower without having to turn the water off, you know. So full hookups is really nice.
Yes.
And we also love to get away or to be in places that have larger space around us. So if we can find places where we have more space, we really do love that. So we have spent some time boondocking.
Awesome.
You know, if you can find a state park that has a big site, and really, it's awesome if you can find a state park that has a full hookup site, then that's really great.
Yes.
We just recently used Hip Camp for the first time. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I have. We haven't used it yet, though.
So we just used it for the first time. We used it twice, actually. We had two kind of different experiences, but one where we had a gigantic yard on someone's private property that was 40 acres big, and it was full hookup site. So we had 50 amp service,
nice
sewer and water connection, and a yard where we could play fetch with Skipper. Plus, we had hiking opportunities that were just right behind us. I mean, it was really like, that was perfect. The downside of that is that you don't build the community that you build when you're in an RV park and you meet the neighbors and you schedule the play date for your dogs to get together.
True.
So we kind of like a combination of all of it. You know, we like to get away and we like to be with community. And I think that we've managed to have a little bit of all of that in the 5 years. And they all have perks about them, but I would say generally we like full hookups.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the more you spend at like each thing, like when you boondock, you love it, but you're really looking forward to going back to the full hookups. And then when you're surrounded, you know, by a lot of people and maybe a very popular busy RV park, you're looking forward to boondocking and being, you know, out in the quiet, peaceful, you know, location. And so I think being, you know, in a good mix really lets you appreciate each one for what it is.
That's right.
And you really don't get bored. You could do whatever you want. And that's the best part too, is you don't like your neighbors, you move. You don't like the area, you move. So yeah. And if you love it, you stay longer. I mean, it's so great. You can't do that anywhere else. And so it is great. Are you guys members of Harvest Hosts and Boondockers Welcome?
We are, and we have used that, but because of Brian's schedule particularly, we typically are moving on Saturdays only and typically for at least 1 week at a time.
Okay.
So Harvest Host is challenging. We use it a couple times a year when we're on a fast move and we're doing a 2 day travel. We'll stop at a Harvest Host on the first night and then move to our park or wherever it is that we're going on the second night.
Yeah, good to have just like optional places to stay. I think we've used it about 7 times and there were some really great locations. And talking to my podcast guests, they've told me about some more really amazing locations. So it is good to give you an extra, gosh, I think it's up to like 4,000 plus possible sites to stay at. So
it's a lot. Nice.
It is. It really is a lot of places. And it's nice to support the small business. We actually absolutely love Boondockers Welcome, where you stay at somebody's farm or property and they want nothing from you but just love RVers and, you know, give you a nice place to stay. We've really enjoyed our stays there too. And you guys have been to so many different places. I would love to hear, what are your 5 favorite locations?
You know, this is maybe the hardest question you're going to ask me, right?
I know. It's so hard. And it changes. I'm sure Glacier's probably going to add to this list when you go there. So it keeps changing as you travel.
It could. Yeah, it could. So number one for me is...
You'll have to come back next week to hear Anne's top 5 favorite locations. She shared some very surprising information about the Grand Canyon that I never heard before. And spoiler alert, that isn't even on the list. Anne has a huge social media following, so I hope you already follow her and enjoyed getting to know her better. If for some reason you're not following, go now and follow her on Instagram and Facebook at On the Road of Adventure. She shares a ton of valuable information and you'll quickly become a big fan of hers like I am. You'll also find all the links to her social media and her website in our show notes and on our website at roamyourhome.com/ontheroadofadventure. Be sure to come back next week for part 2 of this awesome conversation. But until then, catch up on any podcast episodes that you may have missed. We are getting such great feedback from the show, and I appreciate your support. It truly means the world to me. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure, but until then, stay safe and we hope to see you on the road.